BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
We started today's show by talking about the fires in Southern California in the Los Angeles metropolitan area, Pacific Palisades. There has been an impact on sports as the NHL has canceled a game. Rams are talking about, you know, their playoff game coming up on Monday. Chargers are trying to practice among this or amid this. Daniel Popper works for The Athletic. We've had him on the show a number of times, covers the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to check in with him. We'll talk some Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh. But I first want to ask Daniel Popper how things are going. He's joining us now. What has it been like for you? What, give us an idea of what it's like to be in Southern California while this is going on, Daniel.
Yeah, John, it's frankly been quite terrifying. We are about 3.5 miles south of the evacuation zone right now in Venice. Last night was a sleepless night spent watching the news and making sure that the zone didn't reach us, discussing about if we were going to head south to some friends in the South Bay and just monitoring things, and then obviously thinking about all the people in the Pacific Palisades. We have friends who are from up there who don't know if their houses are still standing at this point. And I'm just happy to be safe, but obviously fearful of, you know, the devastation that we're inevitably going to come across after, you know, they get this fire handled and we deal with the repercussions.
Really difficult for firefighters to fight that fire because of the high winds. Can you give us an idea of what the winds are doing in your area and in Pacific Palisades?
Yeah, I mean, last night it was gnarly, gnarly wind. I was staying indoors because there was a shelter in place. But I went outside to get my sister-in-law's car parked because she evacuated out of Brentwood. And there was debris all over the place, ashes flying everywhere. It was intense, intense gusts of wind. And obviously the air quality is really poor. And so it was apocalyptic, honestly, last night. You know, the sun went behind the smoke and it was sort of a reddish hue everywhere and just vicious, vicious winds. And you can only imagine, you know, what it was like within the actual inferno with the way the winds were blowing last night. It's died down a little bit today. You get some gusts here and there. Last night it was pretty heavy, sustained winds throughout the night.
We played a Steve Guttenberg clip from ABC News in which he was telling people, look, if you're going to leave your cars, you got to leave your keys in it, because obviously in the Pacific Palisades, the roads were blocked. Fire crews couldn't get through. They were having to kind of get cars out of the way. Really scary stuff. Gives you a lot of perspective, right, Daniel? I mean, we always talk about sports like it's life and death, and then you're confronted with something like this.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I was just thankful last night to, you know, have my wife and my sister-in-law there safe. We were all hunkered down in Venice and, you know, just checking in with friends and just happy that we're all safe and thinking of all the people that are obviously not as safe and had to evacuate and are dealing with, you know, potential damage to their property and their homes and injuries. And it's a tough time here in Los Angeles and certainly puts things in perspective.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic joining us. He covers the Chargers. What are the Chargers doing with practice and their practice schedule with the smoke and the air quality?
Yeah, so Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, said today that Jim Harbaugh is the best problem solver he's ever been around. And so Jim Harbaugh arrived today with a plan A and a plan B, depending on the air quality. And so they ended up going with plan B, and they adjusted the practice schedule to limit the amount of time that the players were out on the field. The air quality was not good in El Segundo, so they limited the practice time. They only had 7-on-7 drills today. They had the offense go out there first, and then the defense go out there, and they sort of shortened things and try to do as much work inside as possible to prevent the players from being out in this air quality as long, or longer than they needed to, I should say.
This team, as it gets ready to move into this postseason game in Texas, you know, are they playing their best football, or what is sort of the feel around the Chargers right now?
Yeah, I mean, they've won three in a row here. I think offensively they're definitely playing their best football. The offense, it's really been a bit of a struggle throughout the season. Obviously, Justin Herbert, you know, dealing with numerous injuries, you know, starting in training camp with the plantar fascia injury, right high ankle sprain, left ankle sprain, thigh contusion. You know, it's been sort of a battle to find that chemistry on offense with a new system and all of these new pass catchers at receiver and running back and tight end. But it feels like over the last 3 weeks, they've really hit their stride, found a rhythm. They've been able to, you know, sustain drives and get deeper into the playbook. And I think, you know, I would put these last three games up against, you know, pretty much any three-game stretch in Justin Herbert's career in terms of how he's playing, how he's throwing the ball, scrambling, his decision-making, what he's doing at the line of scrimmage. Defensively, they've been pretty solid all season. I don't know if they're playing their best football right now. They sort of found it at the end of the game against the Raiders in Week 18, but they were a little bit shaky on the back end early in the game. But yeah, I think their defense is reliable. They've been solid all season. I think you can count on them. The issue was, would the offense come around? I think over the last 3 weeks, you've seen them sort of find a rhythm here. And so you're rolling in the playoffs with both units playing pretty well.
There's a trajectory that you always see with teams that get to a Super Bowl. And, you know, it feels to me like the Chargers are on this path where maybe this is the year they win a playoff game and then they go into the offseason and they fortify the defense or they get Herbert get him some more help on offense. How do you sort of see this game coming up against the Texans and how it fits in the Jim Harbaugh's journey here with the Chargers?
Yeah, I think you're right on it. I mean, it's been miraculous how they've been able to turn this thing around in one season. I mean, they were 5-12 last year. It was a total disaster, and they're able to turn it around, get 11 wins, clinch the fifth seed, get into the playoffs. You know, I give a lot of credit to Joe Ortiz, the GM as well, who's made a bunch of really good personnel decisions between free agency, the draft, trades to put together a roster capable of doing this. This game this week feels winnable to me because the Texans, to me, don't feel like they're trending in the right direction. Feels like they've taken a step back offensively. The last time they played in a meaningful game was Christmas, and they lost that game 31-2 to the Ravens. So it feels like this is a very winnable game. They're favored on the road, and that would potentially, if the higher seeds all went out outside of the Chargers, set up a, you know, third game against the Chiefs in Kansas City. That would be difficult. They'd be going into the elements. And so it does kind of feel like that, you know, one playoff win, get to the divisional round, tough game against the Chiefs. I think anything can happen. You have an outstanding quarterback and a reliable defense, as I was saying earlier, and those are two things you need to potentially make a run in the playoffs. But, you know, they're playing with house money at this point. They've turned it around. The culture is reset. You know, if they get a playoff win and lose in the divisional round, it's still a resounding success this season. You retool in the offseason. Like you said, you add a receiver, a tight end for Justin Herbert, give him some more weaponry, and then, you know, add a center, you know, some different pieces that you need, and then you can really go into the next season with momentum, with a better roster, and be a true Super Bowl contender. I would be surprised if they really make a run to the Super Bowl this year.
Jim Harbaugh is interesting, and, you know, last year I was at the national championship game, and I was in that news conference where he left it really ambiguous, and then all of a sudden he's off to the NFL again after winning, and now he's with Justin Herbert. And I thought Harbaugh did a really nice job the minute he arrived, putting his arm around Herbert, saying, "That's my guy. Look at this guy. He's Superman. He's the greatest. Look at that guy's invincible." Like, he just built him up, poured confidence into him. Can you maybe tell us what it's been like to watch that up close? Because you're there, you're at practices, you're in news conferences, as Harbaugh is clinically, I think, fortifying his quarterback and trying to put his arm around him in the last, you know, since arrival, really.
Yeah, I think you're right on it, John. It's fascinating because, you know, Justin Herbert doesn't necessarily want to embrace praise. It's not really his personality. He prefers to, you know, heap praise onto others. He doesn't want to be the center of attention. It's really hard to get him to talk positively about himself. And yet here you have a guy who comes in and, well, you know, says he wants to change his name to Beast Herbert, calls him the best quarterback of all time, says he has the strength of 10 men as he's battling through injuries. You know, he tells the equipment staff that he wants the same sneakers that Justin Herbert wears the Nike sneakers that he wears because he wants to be just like him. And this is a direct quote. He said, there isn't a gene in his body I wouldn't take. And I think Harbaugh means all of it, but Justin, I think, has had to adjust a little bit, and he's almost given in to it, right? And I remember talking to Justin about this a couple months ago, that, like, at what point did you realize that you were not going to be able to get Harbaugh to stop doing this and that you were just going to have to give in and accept the praise? And he said it was early on, you know, Harbaugh made Justin wear a gold jersey at practice. He was the only player at practice to wear the gold jersey because he was the franchise quarterback, and that's why he was wearing it. And Justin asked Jim, he said, hey, do you think the other quarterbacks can wear gold jerseys? And Jim said, no, you have to wear it. You're the franchise guy. And Justin said at that point he knew, you know, Jim was going to be heaping praise on him. He was going to be putting him on a pedestal, and he had to just come to terms with it. And I think as a result, I had some conversations in the locker in the last couple of weeks. Justin has been able to be himself, and that's also all Jim wants, is for Justin to be himself. And typically in the past, that hasn't been, you know, speaking in front of the team and being a rah-rah guy. And Jim isn't asking Justin to be that. He's just asking him to be himself, and I think that's what has allowed this relationship to really thrive this season.
I felt like Herbert might have been a key reason why Harbaugh took that job. Has he ever spoken to that? Because he had options. And if I've got options, yeah, it's great to be living in L.A. and Southern California. But, man, having a franchise quarterback that you think can get you to a Super Bowl is an awfully attractive piece for a coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think that was the number one reason why he took the job. And I think watching from afar, you think you know how good Justin Herbert is, but I think that they've realized that he's even better than they thought because they've gotten into the room with him, they've watched film with him, and they've realized that he has a photographic memory and he is so brilliant and he's such an incredible processor. And I think from afar, you see all the physical gifts, but what you don't see until you're around him is that level of intelligence and also how great of a leader he is, which people on the outside don't think that of Justin Herbert, and they don't talk about him that way. But I'll tell you this, you go to any player in that locker room and they would tell you that they would do anything for Justin Herbert. I got a quote from their starting right guard, Trey Pipkins, who said, I would follow Justin Herbert to the depths of hell. And that's all you need to know about him. And so I think that it was a big reason why he took the job, and I think Justin Herbert has exceeded every expectation that Jim had, and I think that's why you see him talk about Justin in this manner.
I think people here, they watched him, and here he was, this guy who pulled a 4.0, and he was taking real classes, and, you know, I believe he was in some kind of science as a major, and he was taking real classes. Biology, yeah, and he pulled a 4.0, and then he had three different head coaches and I don't know how many coordinators, and he made it all look passable. And to me, Daniel, when, like, the scouts, you know, they call you or they call me because they wanted to know, they were asking about his leadership. You know, he's so quiet. And I said, he's going to be fine. Like, look at what he managed. Mario Cristobal, Willie Taggart, Markel Fritsch, the coordinators. And Herbert made it look passable. And I don't think he got enough credit for that. And then what happened? He went to the Chargers and he went through some of the same. And I think it's a blessing for him to get Jim Harbaugh. And I think they've got a real chance here. Are fans grasping that there's a window opening here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the fans knew it as soon as Jim was hired because of his pedigree, because he's what he did with the 49ers, what he did at Michigan. I think that belief was there with the fan base immediately. Now, what I think they maybe expected it to take a little bit longer because of how much turnover there was in the roster. You know, they got rid of Justin's favorite two targets in Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I think because of the offseason, because of how much work there was to do on the roster, the fan base maybe felt like it was going to take a couple of years to get to this position. I think maybe it's been expedited a little bit more than they anticipated. But now that they're in it and they have a functional defense and Justin Herbert is playing the way that he's playing, I think that most of the fans will look at it and say, you know, we got a shot.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic is our guest. Check his work out on The Athletic. Also, great follow on social media. He's covering the things you care about, in particular Justin Herbert and the Chargers. What has to go right for the Chargers to win this wild card playoff game?
Yeah, I think, you know, a big part of it is rushing the passer. You know, the Texans have not been particularly good in pass protection this year, and when the Chargers have played their best games defensively, you know, the engine of those performances has been their pass rush. Obviously, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, They have Tuli Tuipulotu and Bud Dupree on the edge as well. They've gotten some good play on the interior from Puna Ford, Morgan Fox. I think the key here is stop the run and then get yourself into advantageous downs and distances where your strength, the pass rush, can get home, can disrupt C.J. Stroud, can maybe take advantage of what has been a leaky Texans offensive line and get off the field or even create turnovers and splash plays with your pass rush. I think that's really going to be the key for the Chargers, and that they can be suffocating on defense, I think that'll be a key to victory for them.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott on the practice squad, is that just on the practice squad, or did that raise eyebrows?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Ortiz, the GM, has done a really good job this season of, you know, treating roster construction as a 365-day process. I think in the past here with the Chargers, you know, roster building has been an off-season thing, and then once they get to the season, they're not particularly active. But what he's done a really good job of is adding pieces through the season, adding depth, adding contingency plans, so that when they do encounter injuries, they're able to weather those. And so they have four backs on the active roster. J.K. Dobbins is obviously the lead back. They have Gus Edwards as a second back. Hassan Haskins has played well, former Michigan guy who played for Harbaugh. They also have a rookie in Kamani Vidal. So they have players in the active roster. I think this was just an opportunity to bring a veteran in, try and get him up to speed, and if they need a contingency plan or if he's ready to play, they just have another option. It's sort of been how they've gone about things, you know, from the jump here with Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh leading the charge in terms of roster building.
You're covering a good team, 11-6, 5 seed in the playoffs, get the Texans in the first round, but also well aware there's smoke in the air and fires in the background. I want you to stay safe, man. What's the plan for you and your family tonight?
Yeah, so I'm about to meet up with my sister-in-law at home. My wife is at work right now at CHLA, the Children's Hospital. She's a nurse there. So we're going to reconvene tonight, stay locked into the news. We have our emergency bags packed and in the car, water bottles filled up. And if we have to get out of there, we're ready to go, and we'll head down to our friends in the South Bay. And just hoping everyone out there you know, stays safe in Los Angeles and makes good decisions, and hopefully we can all get through this.
Daniel Popper, you stay safe, man. Thank you for giving us some of your time.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is in Southern California, and you can sort of hear the stakes. It's what I talked about off the top of the show, sort of the balance of the stuff that matters and then, you know, the other stuff that is going on in the background of, you know, his life in particular, and Daniel Popper covering the Chargers and getting ready for this playoff game, and also got a go bag packed in case the fire shifts directions, and you know he's 3 or 4 miles away from where the real trouble is. But as firefighters will tell you, and news reports will tell you, that at one point today that fire in Pacific Palisades was moving at 5 football fields a minute, and so 3 or 4 miles, you start to go, okay, that's really not that much time. And so I really am thinking about all of the people in that area who are, at the very least, nervous right now, and maybe worse. I want you to leave it here. We got Punch It Audio coming up. It will be followed by Michael Yam of the NFL Network. We're talking a lot of NFL football, but we haven't forgotten the college football playoff. It'll be Ohio State and Texas. It'll be Penn State and Notre Dame. I had to think about that one. In the other semifinal, and then a national championship game in Atlanta. We'll talk about them as well, particularly in the 5 o'clock hour. I want you to leave it here.